As many of you guys know, that Tuesday nights are my favorite night of the week. And as we sing those praises to the Lord, my heart does break. And I love these words: "Hear my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours." And as we were singing tonight and praising God so freely, which I've spoken so many times, what a privilege we have. But it just took me to yesterday, as I was in the hospital with a sweet, sweet friend that God has given us the privilege to minister to and love, that has been diagnosed with cancer, and I don't know what her future looks like, but she does not know Jesus Christ. And that breaks my heart. And we sit in here so often and take so much for granted. And we just say, oh, let's just have a good time and let's just fellowship and let's just get fed. When God is saying, man, I want your heart to break like mine breaks. And I want you to sacrifice and surrender to make my name known. And so we give many opportunities. Part of the vision of the gathering is for us to come together and to go out into our community and to love and to make Jesus Christ known. And we try to give those opportunities, as many as we can. And I know for some of you, that scares you half to death. It takes you out of your comfort zone. But I'm going to ask you to begin to pray for God to break your heart on the things that break His heart, and for God to show you opportunities, because there are people dying tonight that do not know Jesus Christ. And I want them to have the privilege that we have to sing His praises and to know Him personally. And so we would love for you guys to come alongside us. We've told you so many needs. God is just busting open the seams for Walking in Grace Ministries. But as He busts open the seams, we need people to come alongside us and to partner with God in the work that He is already doing to make His name known to a community that is so lost. And so, Jen, I'm so thankful that you take us to the throne every time. But in that privilege, you know, 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, "Do not take my grace in vain." This ministry is based off that scripture. He calls us to do something with it. Just like in Genesis 12, whenever He says, "I will bless you for you to bless others." I don't bless you just for you to enjoy. I bless you because I want you to do something with it. And so as we move in tonight's scripture, which is Genesis 22, so if you want to go ahead and open up your Bibles, I really want you to start praying now. As we look at God testing Abraham's obedience, I want you to think about how God is testing your obedience and what He is calling you to do, that you need to come to a place of saying, "I will, and I will surrender everything no matter the cost." So let's look at Genesis 22, starting in verse 1. It says, "After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here am I.' And God said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you.'" So we see just right off the bat that Abraham, his obedience is being tested. And God tests us. We know that in Scripture. God never tempts us, but He tests us. And He tests us to strengthen our faith, to strengthen our character, to bring us more into the image of Jesus Christ. But I think for all of us that we need to distinguish between testing and tempting before we move forward. Because so often we think, "I'm being tempted," when we're being tested, or "I'm being tested" when truly we're being tempted. And so I want us to look a little bit about the differences of those things before we move forward. Temptation comes from desires within, okay? It's the desires that you have, the weaknesses that you have from within. Those are temptations. Trials and tests come from the Lord, and therefore His special purposes of what He desires to do with us and how He desires to move us forward. The enemy uses temptation to harm us and to bring the worst out of us. But God uses tests and trials to bring him glory and to teach us more about him. Oftentimes, you can know the difference between a test and a temptation in life. A test will defy all logic, guys. I mean, it will defy everything that just seems like it would be the normal way to do it. Temptation, it is just very easy to fall into it. You can justify it. It's logical. It's easy. Trials and tests, we resist it most often. Do you hear what I'm saying? Can you see the differences of what is happening? I'm going to give you an example of me. Testing for me at one time in my life was whenever I was pregnant with my third son. And I'm not going to go into everything with that pregnancy, but he was not expected. So it took me some time to expect. And I love him. I cannot tell you the gift that he is and how he has completed our family. But God tested me in that to strengthen my character, to trust him. There were many, I love my children, I don't love yours. But I love my children. I'm kidding, kind of. But so we go through this process, and then at 18 weeks I start going into labor. At 28 weeks I go into full labor, and it is believed that Joseph will come. And we are in the hospital, we were there for 10 days, but on that specific night, we were doing all preparations to care flight him to Children's Medical. They were preparing my husband for the process, and for about 5 hours, God tested me. Because I just went through this process of why would you give and then take away? And he'd say, but do you trust me? Why would you bring me to this place of loving this child that I don't even know yet? But do you trust me? Do you believe that I'm the great physician? Do you believe that everything I do is for your good and for my glory? That's testing. When he just takes you along and you struggle in that tension. This is a temptation. Temptation is, many of you know I have an alcoholic background. About 4 weeks ago, I'm just going to bear it to you, and I hope that y'all come to a place where you will bear it to each other. But for the first time in 15 years, I've never wanted alcohol so badly in my life. And it was at a time where God is growing this ministry and pushing this ministry and sending us out and doing these magnificent things. And I just wanted to get wasted and forget everything. I did. And I had to tell people. I told my husband, I told some friends that I had to become accountable to say, I know not to do it because I know it's a temptation. But it was all logical things, right? Just a drink. Alcoholics don't just have just a drink. And so I said, Craig, I know I'm being tempted right now. I need for you to pray with me. I know not to do it. But I cannot tell you the urgency of the temptation to just go and do it. That's a temptation, okay? You can logically figure it out. I could do it, nobody would have known. And I could have just washed away and become numb. That's a temptation. So those are the differences between testing and temptation. Temptation is the desire that is within you because you are human and you are weak. So whenever we go up against and we say, God's testing me, but it is something that is just of our frailty and our weakness, no, girl, that's a temptation, and you better ask a million people all around you, start praying real fast. Amen? So we see with Abraham here, and by the way, I didn't go drink. Okay. Just so y'all know. Because, let me tell you, 15 years ago, I would have. I've come to understand temptation, and I've come to understand testing. I know God's voice, and that's one thing we're going to be talking about tonight. And I know how to overcome temptation because the Word of God, that is all truth, tells me. And I've come to a place to discipline myself well enough. In that temptation, I can't say that in every one, but in that one, I got it. Okay? So I didn't go there, but I want to share that with you. I just want to be vulnerable with you that I'm not perfect. I think y'all already knew that. So Abraham has already gone through a lot of tests. So I want us to look at this a little bit because he has really journeyed through. This is not his first test with God. He was tested in the beginning with, he was being tested with his family. Whenever God said, leave everything, leave everyone you love and follow me. That was a testing of do you trust me as the one true God? He was tested in the famine. We talked about that and he failed that test. We're going to fail some tests. Whenever he went down into Egypt, he was tested whenever he had fellowship with Lot. Right after that time, he and Lot basically split land, and he said, he told Lot to take what Lot wanted first. So he was tested in that fellowship of coming together and allowing another one to be priority over you, right? To become selfless in that situation. He was tested in the fights that he was in, defeating the kings in Genesis 14. He was tested also in Genesis 14 with Sodom's wealth. He said no to the wealth, so he was tested in that fortune that could have been his. He was tested with fatherhood. We talked about that just last week. He failed that test in Genesis 16. And then he was tested just right prior to this, whenever he had to say goodbye to Ishmael. And so he is being tested. He is walking with the Lord. And each time, whether successful or failure, it is moving him. It is progressing him in his relationship with God and trusting God in it. A lot of times whenever we fail, we get it, don't we? And so it moves us more into that trusting, into that believing that God is calling us into. And so God tells Abraham to take Isaac to this region of Moriah. And I love this because it's so significant. The Old Testament has such significance in it. So many times I have women tell me that they only study the New Testament, that they don't get the Old Testament. You guys, study the Old Testament. It has treasure in it. And so this place in Mount Moriah, it's very significant to us. Years later, this is where King David goes whenever he sins against God in 2 Samuel 24, and he builds an altar there, and he sacrifices a lamb. And in that very place where Abraham is to sacrifice Isaac, the Temple of Solomon was built. You can read about that in 2 Chronicles. And then today, the Dome of the Rock is there. The Muslim mosque is right over where this area is believed to be. And so there's great significance of what God is doing in the future of this space that he is calling him to. But this is going to be Abraham's greatest test. Of all these tests, this is his greatest, because after years of waiting for this promised son, the greatest gift that he had just waited so long for, God is saying, okay, I'm going to ask you to give it back. That's one of the hardest tests that we can go through, is when God says, okay, it really is mine. And I'm going to ask you to let go of it, both hands. And so Abraham, he has come very close to the Lord. And I love this because he knows his voice. As soon as God speaks, he says, here am I. And he knows his voice, and he's eager to answer that call. Their relationship has just become that deep with each other. And I think that it's really important for you and I to see that, because it's the same with you and I. As we walk and grow closer to Jesus Christ, our relationship should deepen, and we should come to a place where we know his voice. You and I should look different today than we looked whenever we first became a believer as a daughter of the King. And next year, I should look different than I look today because of the experiences I'm going through and the testing that I'm going through, and as he continues to transform me into the image of God. I should know his voice better a year from today than I do now. And so if you're sitting in this room and you're saying, Melissa, I'm no different, Then there's something going on, and I would love to talk to you about that. We aren't to be stagnant. We're not to be still. It is a journey. It is a progression. It is a transformation. It is a movement that should be happening, right? So God is putting him to the test, and my question is he putting you to the test today? Is he testing your obedience? That's what we see here, is the testing of obedience. Is he calling you out, and are you seeing your weaknesses in it? I know I see my weaknesses very clearly when God tests me. I see my frailty, I see my sin, and I see that I am nothing without him. A test can force us to see our true priorities and our greatest love. And God desires to be both. When you are tested, your true priorities are going to come out. When you're called to sacrifice, you're going to come real quickly to know which one's your idol and your God. And your greatest love is going to be shown. God desires to be both. Deuteronomy 8:2 says that God will test to know what's in your heart and whether you're going to be obedient. Deuteronomy 13:3 says to know whether you love the Lord, you're going to be tested. James 1:3 says that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And if you hold up, you'll receive the reward of the crown of life. How is God testing you? You know what? I'm going to go ahead and give you just a clue here. He already knows your heart. He wants you to know your heart. He wants to know you to know how far you are from fully trusting, from fully believing. He shows me almost daily my unbelief percentages. Amen. Look at Genesis 22:3. It says, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him to go. There is no hesitation that we see here on Abraham's part. It says that he rose early in the morning. I'm just wondering, what do you think it takes to trust God this much? What do you think it takes in you and I to trust to the point where we, number one, when we hear his voice, we don't run from him. And number two, that we are obedient immediately to it. He rises and he goes. And I've thought so much about that because I thought, I don't know if I could sleep through the night. But it looks like he was laying down, amen? I think he rested in peace. It takes a lot. And this is what's amazing to me is that Abraham never once said, God, I've sacrificed everything for you. What else do you want from me? I mean, I think I would say, I've given you everything. I've given you all of my family. I've said goodbye to Ishmael. I've said no to I've done it all for you, God. What else do you want? You have stripped me completely. Have you ever felt like that? But he doesn't say it at all. He just goes. And he does what God has called him to do. This passage has made me think a lot this past week as I've compared sacrifice and obedience to the things that I want to achieve. You know, whenever we do boot camp and we sacrifice and we're obedient to the coach, or whenever we want to lose weight and we sacrifice meals and we're obedient to that diet plan, or whenever we want to go up the success of that corporate ladder and we sacrifice all of our family and all of our time to put in hours to that, because we've chosen that path. It's real easy to sacrifice when we choose it. Amen? I've thought about how many people really have sacrificed their families for job status and promotion, and how many people really have sacrificed marriages to be the best physically. I know families today. But when God asks for you and me to sacrifice for Him, we kind of freak out and we become rebellious and disobedient. And I've thought so much about that because, you know, whenever we see kids and we'll say, she's a born athlete. He was born to be an entrepreneur. And everything goes towards that. And I was thinking about this weekend. We are born to be images of Jesus Christ. That's what we're born to be, image bearers. Amen? You were born first and foremost for God. And my question to me and my question to you is, would you do anything asked of you to look more like Jesus Christ? Today, would you do anything asked if you knew the end result would be that you look more like Jesus Christ? That's what transformation is. That's what we've signed up for, right? Would you do anything at any cost? That's a hard one for me to answer. I'll be honest. I want to answer it.
And I hope a year from now I can tell you I can answer it way better than I can even tonight, as God continues to mold me into His image. But whenever I was thinking about it, I think it all boils down to control, doesn't it? If we choose it, then we'll do it. We'll make every sacrifice, and we will surrender, and we will get rid of to get to the goal that we have. Abraham made a choice, and he chose God in Genesis 12. And he said, I'm in. And he never looked back. And it didn't matter what the road was, he believed God's promise, and he would do anything to get there. That's who I want to be. He doesn't tell anyone. If you look here at Scripture, it's amazing to me. He doesn't tell anybody of what God is asking him to do. And I just really believe, for me personally, I don't want to read into Scripture, but I think if he would have told anyone, it had been real easy to be talked out of it. It would have been real easy to become disobedient to the call. And so he doesn't consult anybody. He listens to God's voice, and he does what God calls him. He even cuts his own wood. He doesn't tell a servant, because he's not going to talk about where he's going. They could easily have influenced him differently. So Abraham is trusting God even when he doesn't understand. We see that he's saying, I'm going to be obedient no matter what. And whenever you and I come to this place where we start asking God, you know, even like Job, we see Job do it. You know, I deserve some answers here. I want to know what the end result is, and there better be a great reward, because if there's not, I'm not going. There better be some M&Ms on that other side. He doesn't ask anything. He just goes, and he's walking by faith. So many times we talked about that in here. You don't go on anything by emotion or feeling. You go by the Word of God and how God is speaking to you. The emotion will catch up, I promise. And he's just moving on obedience and trusting God in it. Faith doesn't demand explanation, and that's what we see here. He just rests on truth. Matthew 22:37 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is a test of Abraham's real heart love. What is his heart really going after? What does he truly adore? His son or his God? Where is he putting his confidence? Our faith is not really tested until God asks us to bear what seems unbearable, to do what seems unreasonable, and to expect what seems impossible. That's when faith kicks in. Look here at verse 4. It says, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. And then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. Let me just tell you right now, this burnt offering in itself is a test. All around them was pagan worship of sacrificing children. God is not a God of sacrificing children. So even what he has called him to do is so unlogical and unreasonable. It's something that God would never ask. But Abraham doesn't question it. So he takes this burnt offering and he lays it on Isaac, his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. And so they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And so they both went together. And this portion of passage amazes me. I think all of Scripture amazes me. And I don't want to read anything into Scripture. I've already said that. But you guys, they do this together. And together is in this Scripture twice. They are moving. They are progressing together. The phrase literally means that they are in agreement. They are moving together in agreement with God, what God has called. Abraham is being obedient to his God, and Isaac is being obedient to his father, and they are moving in agreement. And I'm not sure how old Isaac is. Some commentators say that he's an older teen or a young adult. Others say that he's still young. I don't know for sure, but this is what I do know for sure. Abraham's over 100 years old. Anybody can take him down. Amen? Amen. I got that part. A toddler could have tripped him up. They went together in agreement to do this sacrifice together. And Isaac trusts his father. And I thought a lot about this whenever I thought about my kids and my relationship with my children and how their faith is built off of me training them up and them watching my action of faith. And I thought so much about the stories that were told between Abraham and Sarah. You know how you tell stories about your kids? Oh, you were a miracle child. We waited for years for you. And we laughed when God told us you were going to come. And that's what he named you, Isaac. You're specially named from God. Can you just hear the stories? He's grown up with these stories. He adores God because he has watched his parents interact with God. And he's come to know the one true God himself. Ladies, if you have children, we are responsible for that. And it says in Scripture that Abraham looks up and he sees the place that God told him to go. You guys, it's the third day is what Scripture says. And I love this because it was about 50 miles to this location from Beersheba to Jerusalem. And Abraham had 3 days to think and to pray. And he had 3 days to interact with his son. Oh, precious days. Amen. The difference it makes if we all knew our ordained days and we had a countdown, would we not have great fellowship with our family? They had sweet fellowship on those 3 days. He had 3 days to praise God in the midst of this horrific circumstance. Can you praise God in your horrific circumstance? Can you worship him in the midst of unbelievable trials that I think will just buckle you at your knees? Abraham spent 3 days on this journey. What sweet time. God can do a lot with us in 3 days, amen? He can change our whole perspective. So they spend this time 3 days together, and Abraham tells his servants to wait there while he and Isaac went to worship. And he says in Scripture, and we will come back. You guys, this is the first time that this word worship is used to reference God in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And it's the Hebrew word shakah, and it simply means to bow down. And I love this. They weren't going to praise God and clap hands and sing hallelujah and raise their hands. They were going to worship God, to bow down to him, to say, you are the sovereign one. I revere you. I respect you. I honor you. It's your way. They went to worship God. In Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. And that is speaking of he and Sarah's bodies were already dead, and he received this child. He knew God could do anything, and he trusted that. What does sacrifice look like to you? Is it an act of offering up something incredibly precious? What does it look like? Is it your children, your husband? Is it a job? Is it your finances? Is it control? Control can be pretty precious as women. Is it an addiction that God is saying, I want you to offer it up? I want you to get out of it. What is sacrifice? It's something very precious. Is it your time? Is it your sleep? How many of us don't spend any time with the Lord? And God is saying, I need for you to sacrifice a little bit of your sleep, just in the morning, just a little. Oh God, that is precious to me. What is it that he's calling you to sacrifice? And what does it look like to you? I want you to name it. Because when you name it, you can do something with it. Amen? Would you ever think that a sacrifice in this manner could be worshipful? Could you ever worship in the midst of this? Of God just saying, Melissa, will you trust me? Will you trust me with your son? Will you trust me with your job? Will you just give it up and fully depend on me and trust that the outcome is going to be for your good, but girl, it's going to be for my glory. Abraham sacrifices, as we have said, he sacrifices through obedience, and he sacrificed it all, no matter what. And you guys, this is really important for us to get, because mentally, it had already been done. Remember, we've talked about that in the semesters that we've been together, that when God calls you to do something, go ahead and mentally see the result. If God is saying something to you, we've talked about this. When God calls us to do something, you should decide now. Remember, I talked about that with my girls and dating. They should decide now what their boundaries are going to be before they get to the boundary time, right? Because if they decided now, they've got it in place. Abraham had already mentally gone there. He had sacrificed everything. It was completed. And then I love this, because he comforts Isaac with the words, God will provide. How comforting is that? God's going to provide. Can't tell you how, but I have no doubt that my God is able to meet every need. He's going to provide. You got to be open to the provision. It's not going to be on your timetable. It's not going to be the provision that you thought it would be. God loves surprises. But God's going to provide. And he provides at the very last second with Abraham. Ooh, that one hurts, doesn't it? God, it's burning a little bit. I'm coming. Just trust me. I'm going to put you in the heat just a little bit longer. But I'm going to provide. Do you trust him in that? Matthew 19:26 says, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. I love this because God says, don't look at the circumstance. Scripture says Abraham looked up. God says, don't look at the circumstance. Look up. Look to me. Worship me in it. In your anxiety, in your frustration, in your concern, worship me in it. And I will satisfy. I will provide. Look at verse 9. It says, when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And the angel said, do not lay your hand on the boy. Do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. And it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Abraham gave God the one thing that was his joy, his hope for his future, his dreams, the gift that was going to fulfill the promise. because he had faith in the one good and true God. And God provided in it. And this is what I need for us to understand. I've had so many women that have struggled with this passage, with God calling someone to sacrifice a child. How could he do that, and why would he do that? And you're really missing the point, because it's the test of obedience. It's not the sacrifice of the child. But God desires so much for us to be willing to do it. He doesn't desire the deed to be done. He desires your heart to be willing. That's bottom line. And he's going to do it in a way that you would go, there is no way you're asking me to do it. Yeah, I am. Because I need for you to have a willing heart. I could care less about the deed, to be honest. My husband and I have come to realize that so many times God walks us down a path just because he desires us to exercise our faith and to be obedient. It never took place, and we usually stopped before the action happened, and we'd sit back and go, I think he was just wanting to know if we had a willing heart and if we were going to be obedient. Craig's like, and it took us how long to get there? But now we're going, okay, wait. I think he's just wanting to know if we're going to be obedient. And oftentimes we don't know until we get to the result. Amen? But the more we do it, we come to the realization that we can worship in it, and that we are being transformed through it, and that our faith is being deepened in it. He just wants to say, do you have a willing heart? It's not the deed I'm up for. That result, I can do anything there. I want to know if your heart's obedient. I want to know if you'll surrender everything. I want to know if I'm your first love. I need to wipe away everything else. You've gotten it confused. It's the willingness that he's after. And if you're not willing, you're going to be tested again. Because it's the willingness that he's after. Right? The angel says, now I know that you fear God, that you revere him as sovereign, that you trust him implicitly, completely, fully. Now that I know that you will obey him without question. Even God's gifts to us are of no value until we are willing, if necessary, to lose everything. And then God, whenever he sees that he reigns, and that he doesn't have any rival in our heart, that's the testing piece. Have you ever thought about that? Your gift is nothing until you're asked to give it up. We take it for granted. That gift of grace we talked about at the beginning tonight, oh boy, do we take that gift for granted. And God says, I'm blessing you for you to give that gift away, for you to bless somebody else. The last thing that I want us to look at that is so key, that just rung out to me in this passage, is whenever we're being tested and when we're going through these trials, that you must know the voice of God. You've got to know his voice, ladies. God called him in the beginning to test that obedience, to sacrifice the greatest gift he had ever been given. And God called him in the end to protect and to provide another way out. You got to know his voice. And as I've thought about that, of just that God calling out and him saying, here I am. I mean, both times, I'm here. What do you want? I thought, you know what? For me, in my weakness, in my sinful nature, if God called me to sacrifice, I would probably become so rebellious and so angry and pout the whole way down the road that when he called my name out a second time, I want you to hear this, I'd shut him out because I'd be afraid that he was going to ask me to do something else whenever he's calling me out to provide a way out and to bless me abundantly. I've heard in this room over and over and over again, I'm scared to hear God's voice. I don't know what he's going to ask me to do. I don't want to do it. Did you ever think that it could be for him to bless you and to provide for you and to show you a way out? You're miserable. You need to know the voice of God. Amen. How do you know it? First and foremost, as a daughter of the King, whenever you come to the place of believing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, that he is the Son of God, that he came to die for your sin, you are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there to teach you and to guide you and to lead you into all truth. And this is his tool, ladies. Open the Word of God. You want to know his voice? Know his Word. Melissa, I never hear the Holy Spirit speak to me. Have you ever opened up his Word? Because he's probably speaking, but you don't even know what's in there. He's been calling you out the whole time. I don't know his will. Have you studied the Word of God? Because it's in there. You'll know it. You got to know his voice. John 10 says that my sheep know my voice. I know them and they follow me. They hear it and they are obedient. They say, here am I. And I trust you so much. I don't care if you strip me of everything because I know that you're going to give me blessing in it. And I trust you enough to know that I'm going to be rewarded in some way through joy and worship and fellowship with you. Guys, we don't need any other blessing. You got to know his voice when you're in the trials and in the tribulations. And just like Abraham, knowing his voice can mean life or death for your circumstance that you're in today. Let's pray. Dear Father, you have given us passage that is so rich and so good. It is literally a picture of you sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for every one of our sins. He is the sacrificial lamb, dear Father. And whenever we think about sacrificing our children or sacrificing the one that we love the greatest, just to be obedient to you and to say, God, I love you more, it really puts into perspective whenever we feel that hurt and that pain of what you did for every one of us. And so, dear Father, we just come before you first and foremost to say thank you. And dear Father, I know for me that I want to know you more. And I want to love you more deeply. And I want to come to a place where I worship you no matter what. No matter the sacrifice. No matter how much you've asked me to surrender. I want to worship you in it, dear Father. I pray for every one of us that we will come to a place that we will not push up against testing, but that we will walk in it because we totally trust you and we totally believe that all of it is for your good. And that we know, dear Father, that our goal is to be in the image of Jesus Christ. And so may we celebrate what you're doing in our lives today. May we not say, why me? Why now? But yes, Lord, I am here and I will be obedient. Dear Father, I just pray that for every one of us that we will also just be obedient to making Jesus Christ known. There are so many people who do not know you, dear Father, and you have called every one of us out. We are your ministers and your ambassadors. You have given us amazing testimony of just our personal life that is so powerful. And you desire for us to speak it so that others will know Jesus Christ. I pray that every woman in this place will surrender to that calling, dear Father. That literally every person here will wish that it had never been spoken because now they're going to have to be obedient to it. Will you just convict our hearts until we surrender? We love you greatly, and we love you enough to say yes. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.